First ep, we already lost 50 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, it is a fire 50 minutes. I hope there's a chance we can get it back. So
absolutely, it's we'll in the mixing.
Edit this out real quick if it is. But that brings me to my next point.
Well, let's throw an intro for him. Yeah. This is Saved by Christ with Vinny D and JR.
JR,
hey. You're way too beautiful, girl.
Throwback.
This is going to be a faith-based pod.
Mm-hmm. If we don't get that 45 minutes back, I feel like a great intro would be to, like, record a separate intro, and then right after, just you give your testimony, and then I'll give mine, and then we'll put that in the front, and then just put this right after.
Yeah, okay.
So that'd be really good.
Yeah.
As well. But, no, dude, so what I was going to talk about is, what do you think, like, is there, like, a Psalms that you've read or, like, a Proverbs that, like, really sticks out to you?
I haven't read Psalms or Proverbs.
Really?
No, okay. No, I've hopped in. I've read the book of Job. I've read the book of Matthew, most of Mark.
Oh, Job. Let's talk about Job. That's a big talking point. Huge talking point.
Job? Don't get me started about the man they did crazy, bro.
Dude, they hit him with the double tap.
They hit him with the... Dude, with the airstrike, bro.
Bro, but like, dude, yeah, no, screwed up his whole life, bro.
He had it all.
He had it all.
Everything. He was the greatest guy.
God himself said he has done no wrong, bro.
He said, Job's valid. He's
like, dude, what about my homie Job? Hold on, I gotta pull this out, bro. Dude, he was fire, bro. Dude, yeah, he said, have you noticed my friend Job? There's no one quite like him, honest and true to his word, totally devoted to God and hating evil, bro. Straight up from the book.
And if the man's talking about you like that,
dude,
you know you're doing good.
Uh-huh. And they, like, did him dirty. Like, well, it was like Satan's trick. He was like, he says, guaranteed if I... He's like, look how well you've blessed him, bro.
It's the only
like,
reason
no,
he...
No reason, no wonder he's devoted to you. Yeah. You've blessed him.
You G'd him out. He's all G'd out because of you. Of course he's going...
Dude, and God was like, take it away. Still watch him drop bars about me.
Yeah.
And dude, he did. He took his whole family, took his whole riches, everything. Everything that meant so much to him. And he literally did not...
Bro, imagine you just got told all your four kids died in a freak accident, and you're like, oh, shit, you know.
It's like Elon Musk. If he was a devoted Christian, and then one day, just everything, his company,
he's just
his
hobo
kids,
on the side of the street.
And he just turned to a homeless man. Like, imagine being him, getting everything taken away, and still not, like, cursing God.
If I stub my toe, I'll throw up a curse.
No.
But absolutely, it's like, just imagine you're like, your whole family gets taken away, and you're like, oh, at least I'll keep myself busy with the sheep and with, you know, I'll just try to keep myself busy. And then some dude pulls up and he's like, hey, a fire burnt all your animals.
Yep.
And some people pulled up and killed just about everything else.
Yep. And then they stole your camels. But then after that, still having grace and then getting hit again, he's like, oh, well, he's still flesh and body. Watch me off him. Watch me hurt him real bad and he'll curse you. He's like, bet.
Bro, he did, though. He was talking crazy about God. And all of his boys pulled up. They were...
No, he never once was, he was questioning God. And saying, like, you know, when...
And he was real suicidal.
Yeah, he was, like, suicidal. And his homies were just like, you did something wrong.
Yeah, they were hating.
You totally did something wrong. Like, just pretty much blaming him. And then, like, his friends are like... Oh, and then he's, like, telling off his friends. He told his wife, too. He told off his wife. His wife was like, dude, just curse him already. Like, he did all this bad to you. Just curse him and walk him away. And he's like, how can we accept the good from God? But not the bad.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine being that humble, bro. Just that devoted to God. And he takes away everything. He's like, you know what? He gave me a lot of good, so I'm going to take the bad, too. Dude, that's just absolutely nuts.
Do you think you could do that? Imagine right now you become the manager of the car dealership you're working at. You make millions and millions of dollars slinging cars. You become a sales trainer, make a zillion. Liz becomes your wife. You have like 4 kids, you know, all like great like sports players, this and that. You know, you got this house. And then one day, Liz driving the kids to school, boom, fatal accident. All the kids are dead. And then you're like, oh shit. And you drive home. And houses burned down. All your cars are exploded. Yeah, I mean, no insurance on any of it.
I would be just like Job's friends. Like, Vince, you had to do something wrong. Yeah. You did something wrong.
I would definitely be. I'd be like,
yeah. Dude, I did something wrong. Dude, like, what was it? Dude, curse me. Like, I probably would, like, go into, like, a really strong self-reflection of, like, dude, I messed up. What did I do?
What did I do to lose God's protection?
Right. Yeah, like, especially, like, living the life I already lived and then it getting so great through God and then it all getting taken away, bro. Mm-hmm. That's just wild. And then, but, like, when he, dude, he gets to the end and just God starts speaking facts over him. Dude, what does he even say, bro?
I got the book, it's so for you.
Oh, I got it right here. I got the message, so it'll be a little bit more straightforward. Literally in the Message Bible, God answers Job from the eye of a violent storm. He's like, why do you confuse the issue? Why do you talk without knowing what you're talking about? Pull yourself together, Job. Up on your feet, stand tall. I have some questions for you, and I want some straight answers. Where were you when I created the earth? Tell me, since you know so much. Like, who decided on its size? Certainly you'll know that. Who came up with the blueprints and the measurements? How was its foundation poured? Who set the cornerstone while the morning stars sang the chorus and all the angels shouted praise? Dude, just starts dropping bars on him. Like, who are you to question me? Like, can you control the Leviathan? Like, pretty much like a dragon. I was talking to Anthony about that. It's literally like a dragon. Like, it's what? It just goes through and, like, describes the Leviathan. And just, like, how it's just an unstoppable being. God can control it. Like, nobody else can.
Yeah.
And he's like, dude, you can herd cattle, but you can't tell them what to do. You can herd them, you can tell them, you can guide them, but you can't tell them what to do. Mm-hmm. And dude, and then afterwards, Job is like, you know what, you're right. And gave it back to God. He said, you know what, you're right. And God was like, that's my Job. And he gave it all back, double time, gave twice as much back.
Yeah.
So then imagine, going back to yours, imagine you're Elon Musk, get it all taken away. And out of your humbleness in your heart, being forgiveness to God, never cursing him, and then getting it all double.
Then he's got like half a trillion in the bank.
And that's what I'm saying, like with our life now.
We gave it up.
We gave up the dream of millions of dollars, this and that. And I truly believe if we continue with our heart and the way it is and be humble and love God and truly not curse him or truly not blame ourselves for what went on and what we lost and what opportunities God is going to give us in the future, I feel like that's truly what like Job means. Is like, because there's going to be times in our life where it feels like we lost everything and we're going to want to turn our back on God. We're going to want to be like, dang, like you took it all away, bro. I did everything you told me to do, bro. Yeah. And I just feel like that's really a testimony in itself. And that's why I love recommending Job to people who start the Bible.
And it's a fun book, too.
It is a fun book. It's like you start the Bible and it's so fun and it's so deep at the same time. Mm-hmm. Like anybody out there who has never picked up the Bible, I will recommend Job tried and true. And then go to Matthew.
Yeah.
You don't even have to read the other books, but read Matthew.
Yeah.
He's so good.
That autistic boy is an incredible writer.
He has the most scripture about God.
Mm-hmm.
And he remembered he dropped the whole bloodline
Such a dork, bro.
Dude, straight up, bro.
He was from this, and then from this, and then from this,
like, bro. From joking, from Jason, from, dude, he goes through the whole bar, and then he's like, yep, there's Jesus. But yeah, dude, like, just going through the Bible and learning so much. Like, you know he didn't even know he was God's son until he was 30?
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Dude, yeah, so...
But Mary did?
What do you mean, Mary? No. His mom. Well, yeah, his mom knew he was, like, born out of God, from God. Joseph and Mary were told that it's my son.
Yeah.
And they knew, but, like, when he was middle-aged...
It's almost like finding out you're adopted when you're 30, because your mom...
Right,
didn't tell you, even though she could have.
But then...
Sorry.
And then how you want to be baptized in the Jordan, just like Jesus was, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
He was baptized in the Jordan when he was about, like, middle-aged, 30, people say.
Yeah, by John the Hobo. Baptist. The Baptist.
And when he came up... From getting baptized in the Jordan?
That's what I was going to ask. I wrote that down in my composition. Yeah. Like, I was questioning that exact thing right here.
Questioning it too,
yeah.
Because it says he's teleported. And I didn't know if he was a baby.
Jesus was descended on by the Holy Spirit. And then I said, was this when God entered Jesus? As is this when, like, he was granted the ability to make miracles?
So there was small miracles he made, like bringing animals back to life and stuff when he was a kid. That's really, like, as far as, like, biblically him being the son of God, it goes in his childhood. There's very minuscule about when he was a child. It all pretty much starts when he was baptized by John the Baptist, because John the Baptist laid the foundation for him. He was Abraham or something like that. I don't quote on it.
Clear the path.
Yeah, he was the one. He was the one that was prophesied about where he's going to lay the foundation. But he was baptized by John. And when he's coming up from the water, he, like, goes into, like, Naruto.
Right. Super Saiyan?
No. You know Naruto, right? With the manga Go Sharingan War. No?
No.
No way, dude. Okay,
I was in Anbu, but I don't remember.
Okay, so it's like he gets put under this, like, genjutsu, where, like, you're having an out-of-body experience, and he's in front of God, and he says, "You're my son, and I'm very proud of you," because he had never sinned. And so, like, he went through, and he was immediately transported where he was tempted by Satan for 40 days and 40 nights straight. Like a genjutsu type beat, like, where he was just having, like, you know. And, like, it's absolutely crazy. Like, he didn't have to. He was just told that he had to do these things. And, like, at one point, I think... The first time it talks about Jesus crying is when, like, he was like, "God, do I really have to do this? Is there no other way? Like, is there no other way to save all these people from their sins? Is there no other way, please? Like, is there any other way, Dad? Is there any other way?"
He said no.
Yeah.
Dude, that's one thing that, as I was reading Matthew for the first time, approaching... It's almost like, you know, Jesus died, you know what happened to him, but when you're reading the book of Matthew, you're just so caught up in who he is as a guy.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I started watching The Chosen recently too, so I see a face to the character, and then I go, bro, they kill him.
Mm-hmm.
They kill him, bro.
By one of his own people, bro.
Oh, yeah, that's crazy. I did want to say, I think... I think we lost that episode for a reason, bro.
Why?
I think we said a couple things that necessarily...
were controversial?
Not that, because that's fine. But I think that this is the best start for our podcast we could have, is talking about Job off the bat.
Dude,
and it came super organically, so I think...
Oh, absolutely.
So I think this is the reason it got deleted. Sure, we dropped some gems. Maybe it's...
Because it's where we both started in our... readings of God.
So it's like, I think it's a great spot, and we can always drop those stories later.
Yeah. No, yeah, I feel like that's a great idea, because this is literally what we wanted it to start like.
Yeah.
So this is honestly perfect.
Yeah, so yeah, we lost you know, 50 minutes of super fire.
Super fire to trade it for something great.
That was for God. That's all it was for.
That's literally the message of Job right there.
Exactly. The fruit, and also the fruit, first fruits of our labor.
Right here, yeah.
Straight to God. We're not recording it. It was just for him.
Yeah, absolutely. But that's 15 minutes. We want to stop it and pause it. All
right, perfect. We'll be right back.
Boom.
Yeah, that's it right there. Yeah, so we're going to start the next podcast with a prayer. And then Maytown, Assembly of God in Maytown, Washington. So I was first invited to that church by my friend Tyler. And we were looking for churches, just something where we felt the presence of God. And, bro, crazy, I totally forgot about this. I don't even think I ever told you this. One of my first weeks there, me and Liz, I think it was like my second or third day, not LaDonna, but Tammy, Pastor Tammy, I don't know if she just drops the heat on you, right? Yeah. Dude, so...
Heat dropper,
straight up. I feel like she's truly in tune with God, but she comes up and tells me, she goes, is there something going on in your life? Like, you feel like you can still live, but it's like holding you down, like a net. Like, you can still see, and you can still function, and your arms can fit through the holes, but you feel like you're still held down. And I was like, yeah. And, like... definitely monumental to like me getting into Christ, but that's when I knew that that was my church, that I needed to go there. And I went there every day, and then I invited you. I think you pretty much asked me. Like, I think I invited you maybe months before that, but I tried to get Owen there, tried to get Anthony there, but that's pretty much when I invited you or you started coming. Mm-hmm. And then how do you feel like it's your church or?
Absolutely. I don't go, around talking to everybody because, I guess I could make the excuses first thing in the morning. I'm not in the most social mood. I still have a lot of anxiety talking to people. Oh, yeah. Just like trying to have the best first impression.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, I definitely have a tough time and. Quite honestly, I was telling Haley's cousins when we were there yesterday, I go, yeah, bro, every time I walk in there, I'm just waiting for someone to tell me to leave. I just feel like I'm not worthy to be in there because I've done a lot of shit that I just, we all have done some shit we don't. I just think back on, I'm just like, dude, I feel like a little demon in there, bro, not because, I want to. I just don't feel like, I don't know. Just don't feel worthy, but it's not because of that church. That's the most church I ever have felt worthy. Mm-hmm. I enjoy Pastor George's minister more than any I've ever heard before. Mm-hmm. So I'd say yes, dude. I'm so glad you made it there. I remember the first day I was there, you go, yeah, this place doesn't have money, but what'd you say?
It has Jesus.
You said this place has God, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. And I remember just like... I let the songs play. Like, I'm not the biggest fan of the songs. Mm-hmm. But I listened to those play. I thought it was great. I saw Chris, the man with Down syndrome, mm-hmm. the sweetest dude on earth. I saw him up there singing. And then that one African girl or Jamaican girl with her with her baby up there singing too.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, dude, this place is... I see what he's talking about. And then when PG took the stage and started speaking, like I told you, bro, I was so locked in and engaged by that man speaking that I knew that the second it was over, I was like, and I think that's another reason he keeps it kind of short is because he knows we're just waiting for more.
Right.
And no, absolutely, bro. I've been to several churches, but that one is by far. And I forgot what the 1 week you were gone. PG, he had a great. It was the financial day because the Maytown were. We literally meet in a greenhouse. Tubernacle is what we call it.
Yeah.
It's just this tube greenhouse.
So a tabernacle is like a temporary temple.
Yeah.
And so it's a tube house.
Yeah, I know, yeah. Yeah, it's like our floor is gravel. It's like we have
and
the
carpet.
Yeah, and there's some carpet on top, some rugs. And it's basically like a tube greenhouse with everything like drilled into the top of it. It's a beautiful little building.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so we're trying to build a building. So, when PG was doing the financial talk that we had, I forgot what he called it. He called it the revolution of the ages or something like that. He kept saying it, but it made so much sense. Like, we're right on the I-5 corridor is what he kept saying. and to have a church with is with the type of values that this one has, just an assembly of God, mm-hmm. and the fact that they literally show exactly how much money is in the fund to build a new building. Mm-hmm. There's full transparency. There's no mm-hmm. fucking freaking shits and giggles. Mm-hmm. Nothing, no weird stuff going on. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that's super beautiful. So I want to be part of what Maytown is going
Absolutely.
On.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I want to be there when we build the building. I want to spend my time. Mm-hmm. If I do get this firefighting job I want, I'll have 5 days a week to go do whatever I can for the church.
Right.
And that's what I want to be a part of. I love Pastor George, whoever's the next pastor. I know I'm going to love them too. You, Pastor Vince, you better get rid of those my boy.
You're right. Straight up.
But I'm playing.
No, me and Pastor, that's what we were talking about schooling is because it's like, you know, I'd love to like be able to hold the torch for you and pass it down with you because there's going to be a point where I'm pretty much irrelevant. And I was like, well, you got to teach me how to play guitar, too.
But like, I got one around the way. You can take it home with you. If you need to learn, that's all you, baby.
Acoustic?
I don't have an acoustic.
Yeah, I'll probably...
it's the same thing, just different sound off the thing.
Yeah, I'll probably get one from Paula. But, yeah, no, I love that church.
You take the amp, everything.
It's amazing. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like if you... were never taught the word you would never use it?
No, I think that the reason we say it, it's something I've been working on lately. Have you ever asked somebody a question and they take like 5 to 10 seconds to answer?
Mm-hmm.
You're not thinking, why isn't he talking? You're thinking, right. Oh, he's thinking. He's mm-hmm. coming up with an answer. Right. If it takes like 30 seconds, you're like, did he hear me?
Yeah.
But so it's always, if you were taking a second to think and answer, or you pause between words, no one's thinking, why isn't he saying something? Mm-hmm. Why is there dead air? It's mm-hmm. just like, that's within a voice that we have.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we all say it. I say it all the time. I've been really working on it lately. Like, I'll sit in my pauses.
Yeah.
I'll say something and I'll be very conscious of the pause I'm giving before mm-hmm. I say something.
Right.
And once you can kind of master that, it's a game changer. Like, you feel more confident in what you're saying, stuff like that. So I think we would say something. We'd either go, you know.
Yeah, it's just it's a physical, like, interpretation of I'm thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's what gives us its weakness, is because you're telling that person you're thinking rather than sitting there and saying, I don't know. Like, somebody asks you a question, it would be so more powerful to be able to say, honestly, that's an amazing question. The reason for that is the problems of the industry. Instead of saying, yo, honestly, that's an amazing question.
It's like basically saying out loud, I'm trying to come up with something. And then if you don't say anything, it could be, say, he has the most loaded answer already. I don't even know what he's thinking.
Right. Yeah.
So it's almost like you're showing your cards when you're mm-hmm. saying and and it's something we all do, dude. I do it all the fucking
time.
Do you
think Jesus said
Hell no. Heck no.
Not a day in his life,
no,
bro.
Dude, that fool was probably so articulate.
Obviously it's not going to be in the Bible if he said we'll sit that. There's a...
Maybe when he was a kid, I bet you he did.
Probably.
But when he was 30, I feel like he had taken his time.
Mm-hmm. When he was, like, he was speaking from God. Like, God was speaking through him. And so he didn't have to say or pause. It just came. Dude, that's another thing that I wanted to bring up. Parables. And, like, you obviously read Matthew when he's talking about why he speaks in parables.
Mm-hmm. It's...
Did you ever analyze that and break that down?
The first part I did, but then... Mm-hmm. Yeah, so basically he says... He speaks in parables because he... There's kind of two in my mind where he says... His word is for the ones that are like children, not for the ones who think they are clever.
Right.
And also the parable, how he talks about it, because it's almost like he's fishing... He's throwing out a net, and the parables are going to catch the fish.
Right.
But obviously not all the fish are going to be swimming to the net.
Mm-hmm.
that's just kind of a little observation, but I feel like you you have a loaded answer. What?
Yeah, so it's like if I were to teach you math, I couldn't say that the y sub 1 or y equals mx plus b or this and that. I can't just tell you the formula. I have to teach you the formula. I have to teach you the steps. I have to, and he could have said, like, he could have just said, I'm dying for your sins, and heaven is real. I'm God's son. Like, he could have said all those things and just pretty much shown people, but that's not enough.
Mm-hmm. And also, I feel like parables are timeless.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's like, it doesn't matter, like the mustard seed, all these parables. It's like, dude, this was 2,000 years ago. We live completely different lives.
Yeah.
We have completely different culture than those folks had. But when Jesus talks in parables, we all can understand it.
Yeah,
if you just read and want to, you will understand it.
Yeah, like poetry, like the greats weren't around until like what? Who's that one? Shakespeare.
Who's that guy?
Yeah, who's that one? Shakespeare. Like it was like thousands of years. I don't know. I might be speaking out of my butt here, but there's just so much time between when Jesus was around and when people could really articulate words like that and come up with these stories like that. Like
Shakespeare was like, I think, 1600s to maybe 1800s.
Yeah, right?
So that's like, a long,
still long
from time Jesus to that, to the first great writer that we still talk about today.
Mm-hmm.
It was the disciples and then Shakespeare, like that gap.
And I guarantee you, like, there's very well-versed like Cliff or that one other guy, they like really do speak facts, but I feel like
Cliff is fantastic, bro.
Absolutely, but I feel like nothing can really meet Jesus's level on the way he spoke.
Mm-mm.
Nobody has made up another parable or another comparison since Jesus.
He was like what we would say now. That man's a genius. That's what we would have said about Jesus. Absolutely. We would have said Jesus the genius.
Yeah, literally.
Because he had the mind of a genius. And was a carpenter. God. You ever seen Goodwill Hunting?
Is
about the dude. Is that the one about the the construction worker who's super smart?
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah. Yeah, exactly. There's a couple of those movies that blend together. But yeah, it's like Jesus was, it wasn't that, but he was like that. He was the smartest guy around, and he didn't do the job that you'd think somebody like that should. Like, you ever meet a guy, and it's like the most brilliant guy you ever met. You're like, yo, what do you do? It's like, construction. And you're like, what? I thought you were going to say something very important, and I say that in quotations because, you know, it's what we think is important really isn't, because the most important man of all time wandered around through the desert and just spoke his truth. Which happened to be the truth, thankfully for us.
The all-time truth. The truth that outlasts anything else.
You ever, obviously the comment of Jesus looks a lot different than just a guy wandering earth. He's going to, you know, be in the sky with the red robe, on the horse, with the sword. But you ever wonder, like, what if I, like, ran into Jesus one time?
I think about that when I'm having normal interactions. Like, I don't know if you know him, Arnie, but I, like, sometimes think, like, this person literally could be Jesus that I'm speaking to. Like, he could be on, or, like, God is in a human body and right in front of me having an interaction with this person. And I, like, ran into him, said a few words to him, and I never knew.
Yeah.
Because you never know, like, the random people you see on the street, like, what vibes they're going back to or anything like that. You don't know if it's just God in a different person's body. You
decide to come down and say what's up.
Not even saying what's up. Just walking through.
Just taking a look.
Yeah, dude. And, like, that's...
And the Bible never says God doesn't do that. It also never says he does.
Exactly.
I feel like every gray area is God's area.
Yeah. No, and I feel like
you're gonna quit doing that
when there's like something like tragic happening, like a shooting or this or that or whatnot, whatever it is, there's a little bit of God in somebody that's near.
Mm-hmm.
So we were talking about parables, and then you brought up you hide your faith. Is it the right mic?
So I'm seeing, oh yeah, look like this. It probably is, but good call.
I wouldn't say I hide my faith, but I'm very hesitant to speak about it sometimes because I'm not well versed enough. I know it's the truth, mm-hmm. and I have a lot of faith in Jesus Christ and the Bible, obviously.
Right.
But for example, my stepmom's a science teacher, mm-hmm. and she is more than an atheist. She's a Bible hater, dude. Mm-hmm.
And what did you tell me about that?
And it's not that she's way more articulate than me, but she'll just steamroll and just rant and rant, and it's so much to answer that I don't know what to say to it. Mm-hmm. So at that time, like, maybe in her mind, she won, and every time she thinks she wins, she's not accepting God into her life. And that's all I care about, because I want to see my dad in heaven with me. I mm-hmm. want to see him with his wife, have the whole family together. But the reason I don't like to talk about it is because I don't want to be the one that someone asks me a question, which if all I could do was just read a little bit to where I could answer that for them and make them closer to a believer. I don't want to be the one that fucks up and they go, oh, see, if this kid who claims to be a Christian can't even answer, then God's not real. So it's almost like I feel like if you're not educated when you're claiming how much you love God and how much Christianity is the truth, I feel like you're almost shutting the door in people's faces because they're going to come to you for answers. And if you don't have those answers, it's just going to – they're going to lose respect and they're going to lose whatever faith they even had in the first place.
Right.
So it's not that I hide it, but I want to wait till I know more before I'm really going to talk about it publicly because I want to have the answers, but I
– So when you were knocking doors, did you prevent the – the – not knowing the answers to every question prevent you from knocking on that door? Because when somebody when somebody asks you a question that you didn't know, what did you do? You deferred to the tech. You said, honestly, that's a little bit outside of my knowledge, but there is a person that does. There is a thing that does. Mm-hmm. The Bible has all the answers to your questions. I might not be able to give them to you right now, but I am in the track of learning everything, and I can only speak on what I know.
Yeah, that's
so that's, you know, because what are they going to say? What are they going to say? Oh, how, you don't know all of it already?
Yeah.
How can you call yourself a Christian?
You're right, Vince, but guess what? How many times did we knock on doors and people, we would defer to the tech. We would have whole meetings about how deferring to the tech sometimes mm-hmm. doesn't work.
Yeah.
Where they would go, oh, yeah, see, that's what's wrong with you people is you don't even know what you're saying when you come up to my door.
Right.
And I'm not saying you should know, but guess what? If those – and that's the thing is we don't have any limitations, man. When we're talking about God, mm-hmm. we are the setter and we are the closer. Like maybe the closer is obviously the Bible and God himself. But when you're setting that appointment, you need to really be on top of it and you need to show that you're a professional.
Yeah.
Yes, you do. You need to show you're a professional when you are selling something. Because and in our case, we are selling God. So those people who do react to when you go, oh, yeah, see, I can't give you all these answers, but the Bible can. They're going to go, see, yeah, I need you to answer my questions. Now, those people still need saved. So if I could do my due diligence, I still talk about it.
Yeah.
I'll still tell people I'm a Christian. But the last thing I want is someone to ask me a simple question that just by reading, I could answer for them.
Yeah, but there's obviously questions like you legitimately can't answer. Like somebody comes up to you and says, I'm a sinner, this and that. What will happen to me when I die? Mm-hmm. Will I be saved or not?
I don't know.
Exactly.
Just like that guy Cliff that we were talking about, he says that all the time.
Right. Like, and if somebody comes up to us and says, what's the price? Well, it's a kind of a case-by-case basis. We really need to go through the appointment. We really need to have Jesus in your life to really be able to tell you that. You're going to have to go to Jesus, the tech, to be able to really find that out. And
Jesus, the technician.
Yeah. Dude, and I feel like there's, like, me not knowing everything isn't going to prevent me from talking about it. I might not speak on everything, but I do want to be able to just say that. Because any sales situation, when you say, when you're straight up and honest, I don't know. That customer, they're like, okay, He's not making up some BS to make me believe him. Like, he just doesn't know. So I'm going, like, I'm, it's just that genuine.
Makes you almost more curious.
Right, exactly. And
I see what you're saying.
Yeah. And it's honestly crazy. But what's your favorite parable?
What's my favorite parable? Mm-hmm. I remember we were talking, you said the one about the path, like throwing the seeds. Some land in the path, some land in the rocks. Mm-hmm. That was in Mark, I believe, but there was one in Matthew about basically in the harvest when weeds start to grow, and the harvesters will run to the main farmer and say, hey, there's weeds all up in our grain, all up in our crops. Mm-hmm. Should we pull the weeds? And the farmer would go, no. You know, if you pull the weeds, it could uproot a bunch of the grain. Mm-hmm. And then we would just have a bunch of lost products. So let's just wait till harvest. We'll separate all the weeds. It'll be a little harder, but we'll separate all the weeds. And then we'll burn the weeds. And then, you know, we'll keep the good crops. Mm-hmm. Jesus said to the disciples, yeah, so basically God is the farmer. The harvesters are the angels. The crop is the good, not the good people, but the people who repent for their sins. Mm-hmm. And the weeds are obviously the people who are very prideful and who think they're clever and don't actually, and never repent for their sins and never obey God in any way. And that's definitely my favorite parable.
So what do you think that means? Do you think that, because I believe that everybody, when they die, gets face with God, no matter if they were a believer or repented or anything like that. Yeah,
maybe you'll be able to answer this. With that said, so when we die, do we sit unconsciously in our grave until Judgment Day? Or, what is that?
So there's no, like, there's things in the Bible where the only, like, it'll say, like, the only time heaven, we'll all go to heaven when Jesus comes back. And there's also, like, things that say, like, you will face judgment when you pass. Okay. And so, like, pretty much saying, like, oh, heaven's a place for people when we come and defeat Satan, or, but...
Because that's what it's kind of seemed from the... But I always... Yeah, because it says, like, all those testimonies of people saying that when they died, they met Jesus or they met God, and they said it wasn't your time. Uh-huh. So it's like, do you go chill with JC? And they're like, all right. I mean, even if you do some wild shit and you die, do you just end up going up to heaven? It's like, all right, you're probably here limited time, bro. Judgment Day is coming. Mm-hmm. And do you just sit into, like, a really neutral, nice place until Judgment Day?
No, because there wouldn't be a reason for us to... Because
there's still a heaven now, so...
What I believe ethically right now is, like, if there was no place for us to go, we wouldn't die. And I also feel like dreams, they happen like in 2 seconds in the physical world, but in the mental world, it's
days,
hours, whatever it is. And so I feel like in that moment, it'll just be a snap. Like, we'll go up.
And dreams are heaven and nightmares are hell. And you get a glimpse of both of them.
And so you...
Bro.
What?
Your dreams are a glimpse of heaven, and your nightmares are a glimpse of hell.
Maybe.
And in your experience here on earth, God gives you glimpses of both.
Yeah, and...
And you also hear the word of God. I would say, of course, people will say... A big question people will ask is, so what about an uncontacted tribe who have never heard about Jesus?
Are they
going to hell? People will... honestly, I forgot where I started. But
yeah, no, you're good. So, you started... Crap, I forget, too.
but they say, like, are you going to hell? But I think that even in those cases, God shows himself. So, with them showing you two glimpses, one of heaven, which could be good dreams, and one of hell, which come from nightmares.
Right.
Basically, with you being shown those glimpses, and I think everyone hears the word of God at one point or another, I feel like you're given that choice. Who do you want to follow? Do you want to follow your temptations throughout your whole life, which could destroy your life and other people's? Mm-hmm. Or are you going to follow the word of God? Because I feel like everybody, even those uncontacted tribes, missionaries have pulled up with Bibles and get killed. Mm-hmm. Those people probably still look at those Bibles, you think?
I feel like if it's an uncontacted tribe that has never known God, it's still a product of God. And
there's a place for them.
Yeah, I truly feel like when we die, no matter if we know God or not, because he even says in the Bible that it's better to not know anything and do wrong rather than know what's good and do wrong. So there's he definitely knows that there's people that are never going to know Jesus in their whole life, and it's better for them because they don't know what they're doing wrong, and they don't know what's right. Mm-hmm. And so, but they're still going to be faced with God. And at that moment, we're all going to feel like we all have the choice to repent or not. And I feel like they're in that moment able to repent for their sins, and they realize what they had done, just like Adam and Eve had realized that they were naked. We're all going to realize truly, because it wasn't until after Jesus died that his disciples knew that he was actually the Son of God. And so I feel like we won't know truly until we die. And we'll get faced with God, and then once we repent, it's just going to be
in front of him?
Yeah, in like a snap of the finger, and then we're not going to be able to spend time there. Because God is not subjected to time. So we could be faced with God, and then boom, the next thing we know, we're descending down to fight the demons with the angels and God.
Yeah.
Because that would be absolutely crazy, just because, like...
That makes a lot of sense.
I feel like that's what makes the most logical sense. And, biblically, it may not be accurate. It may totally be wrong. And it may be something like the Big Bang Theory, where nobody's known, nobody's really questioned it.
Just the Big Bang Theory is Let There Be Light.
Yeah. The Bible had it correct for 2,000 years before scientists even came close to coming up with the Big Bang Theory.
That's what they say. It's like, yeah, it's not scientifically correct. It's like, what do you mean? The things that the scientists are putting out is what's in the Bible.
Yeah.
They're just ripping it off. They stole my whole fucking flow.
Yeah.
Word for word, bar for bar. Big Bang Theory, jacked. Let there be light, created in 7 days. God's not subjected to our sense of time. 7 days could have been 7 billion fucking years.
And everybody's like, what about the dinosaurs? What about the dinosaurs?
No, continue, sorry.
But there was a time before the flood with Noah's Ark where demons were roaming the earth. Demons were roaming the earth. And that's why he flooded the whole earth and started new. So that could be just like the asteroid. And it killed all the demons that were walking the earth, the T-Rexes. Because they're monstrous beings. They are what are described as demons, dude. Like, if you look at it, like, those were the demons walking the earth. And God cleansed the earth with a meteor. But it was Noah's Ark, because if you look at, like the soil and everything... Vinny. It all spreaded apart. It was all flooded. It was all washed over by water. That's when the continent separated and everything.
Vinny, stop.
Dude. Straight up, bro. I've had that in my mental for so long. It's crazy. Like, if you start, like, letting your imagination go and, like, really, like, thinking about it and putting these things into place and doing that research and, like, this and this and this and this and this and that. Like, it's crazy.
Absolutely. Yeah. What'd you end up writing down as? Because this week's focus, we were reading the Book of Mark.
Yeah. So I wrote down.
Actually, no, I want to ask you this. That's kind of what I ask you off pod. Yeah. What do you think about tobacco use? Do you think that's a sin? Addiction, I think, is, but...
I feel like God says that we're worshipers, and we were born to worship, and just how... I forget who it was, but he's like with his people. I think he freed them from Israel. So when he freed them from Israel, And he's like, okay, I'm going to go up to the mountain and get a scribe from God. Don't worship anything while I'm gone. And they worship this golden cow. And he comes back from down from the mountain. He's like, dude, you guys are worshiping this dang cow. I told you not to freaking worship anything while I was gone. He breaks the tablets. He's like, don't worship anything while I'm gone. I'm going back. And he goes back. And so I feel like it's more so of our flesh worshiping something. Like you think of weed or tobacco or drugs or alcohol. It's our flesh. Like even with like lust or anything, it's just our flesh worshiping something.
Yeah.
And our it's just our flesh. It's human. It's of this earth. So it's going to worship something of this earth, whether it's women, alcohol, tobacco, or anything like that. So I feel like it's a false worship. Mm-hmm. I don't feel like it's, and false worship is a sin. So to answer your question, it's more of a gray area of, am I worshiping it mm-hmm. with my flesh? Because anything you worship with your flesh is not God. God asks you to worship him and nobody else. So I feel like in cases there is that worship, that false worship, and that's why I truly...
It's like I wake up in the morning and I'm like, yo, I need a Zen right now. Mm-hmm. Zenderman in the upper deck.
Imagine immediately. If it was God.
Yeah, I need to read the Bible. I need
God.
I need the Bible. Right. Yeah, I need to pray.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like those, the only reason why, like, not the only reason, but a very big factor of why I wanted to quit is because, like, it's just preventing me. It's
yeah, like I asked you, I asked you off pod, I was like, we could get like a hookah in the podcast studio.
Yeah.
It's like, why not a cross on the table? I was thinking of a hookah right. for some hashish.
Exactly.
You know, to enjoy or whatever.
Exactly. So it's just all boils down to what you worship in this world. And if it aligns with God, I feel like that's what truly matters. It's not more so of is it a sin, but does it bring you closer to God?
Yeah.
Does it do anything for me?
Mm-hmm. Great answer.
Yeah, I feel like that's the best way to really put it.
Absolutely.
But
we all fall short.
Huh?
So we all fall short.
That brings to another point. So do you feel like you are unworthy of like receiving God because what you've done? Because you were talking earlier about how you're in the church and you feel like these people are like, oh, you don't belong here.
Yeah.
Like, because of the things that you did in the past. And I feel it was a big obstacle for me to overcome. And so I want to get your take on it to see if I can shed some light.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would say, I don't know, I like to think about that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, God made me, so I feel like I do deserve God's mm-hmm. love. But mm-hmm. when I know I'm doing something bad, and I'll literally pray to God,
mm-hmm.
ask for the strength. Like, we'll use eating, you know, super appropriate one. We'll just say eating really bad food.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's really bad for my body to go yeah. to McDonald's.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll ask God for the strength. And I'll be driving down the road, and everything is pointing me to just drive straight home.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll still hit a left and do like a BK or something.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it's like, when I do that, hell yeah, I feel unworthy, bro. Mm-hmm. He just put everything in my brain to not do that. He helped me avoid this in every way,
mm-hmm.
but I still go and do something.
Right.
Like, bro, like, masturbation's a big one I struggle yeah. with, bro.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everything in, like, a literally Bible will fall on my head while I'm doing it. It'll be like, yo, stop.
Yeah.
Like shit like that or something yeah. like that, because like all my books are stacked on like mm-hmm. my headrest, so that's why there's like yeah like once yeah,
yeah. yeah, yeah. No,
I've been you know been on my bed just not behaving myself, and then a Bible fell on my face, something like that yeah. So it's just everything will be pointing me to the direction to do good, but I'll still turn away and do bad.
Right.
And when I do that, dude, I do feel terrible about myself, and I feel like I'll never be worthy. And will I ever stop doing sin? That's a big thing I ask myself. It's like, and that's a bit when I do ask for things. Most of my prayers just thank
I just thank God for everything, and then pray for, you know, for a few people, and then I will ask, you know, like, give me the strength for this, give me the strength for that. And a lot of it is just give me the strength to stop doing sin or stop being mm-hmm. so infatuated and gripped by sin. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I know it's, I have to put in work too. It's not just going to be handed down, you know. I'm not going to wake up tomorrow and be like, oh, you know, I'll only enjoy sex and reproduction, you know. I'll never smoke weed, I'll never drink, stuff like that. It's something I'm going to have to, you know, grit my teeth and really push myself through.
Yeah, definitely.
So to answer your question, I would say, you know, sometimes I do. Sometimes I feel like I'm being a good person. And, you know, I'm spreading God's word. You know, it's almost like if you do a bunch of work for somebody, you can expect to get paid. But sometimes you want to do work for somebody and you never want to get paid. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I worked for a old Vietnam vet, and I've told him multiple times, man, I'm just here to help you. But sometimes I'm like, I'm really glad I'm getting paid for this shit.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, because he does pay me, he insists on paying me. Mm-hmm. But sometimes I'm like, I would do this for free. But then other times, like I said, I'm happy to get paid. And that's almost like with God. Other times you're like, I don't care if I go to heaven, I'm going to serve him regardless. Other times you're like, I better be getting into heaven for this shit mm-hmm. type of thing.
Right. No, that's a fact right there. That's absolutely like straight factoids right there. That's.
Do you feel unworthy, Vince?
I did. I definitely did for the longest time. I felt like I was putting on a facade pretty much to please everybody else for praising God, saying, you know, pretty much just using it for the wicked, really. Going, not using it truly for what it was meant for, but like to better me, but to like show other people that I was better. And in that sense, I felt like I was unworthy because I was doing it for the wrong reason. And now, like, Elizabeth, she'll ask me, she'll be like, well, I don't feel like you're following God, because I showed her so much before, because I was doing it for her. And now that I'm doing it for me, it feels like it's not happening. But I'm not over here dancing, saying, oh, look at me, I'm going to church, I read 10 pages today. I don't do that anymore. She'll be like, oh, I don't feel like we're equally yoked right now. And I'm like, well, maybe you didn't even ask me. I'm not going to tell you I'm doing it for me. I'm not doing it for you anymore. Like, you don't know this, but I stayed up till midnight reading the Bible and taking notes. And I don't feel the need to tell you, because that's between me and God.
And that's rewarded. It's what he said is, you know, if you're going to give money to the poor, don't tell anybody.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't even thank yourself, or don't even right. feel, mm-hmm. you know, don't even yeah. feel proud in yourself about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, exactly. And, those who freely give, freely receive. And I truly felt like I wasn't freely giving, and I wasn't freely receiving. Mm-hmm. And so now I truly feel like I'm freely giving, and so I feel okay to freely receive. And I feel like I wasn't worthy before. I don't think that I truly was, but it just really all boils down to what's in your heart, what your intentions are. And if you're there for good intentions and you want to be there to better yourself, not to put on a front for somebody or lead somebody or whatever it is, but if you're truly there seeking God, then I feel like you that's when you truly become worthy. Because, you know, I feel like one of, like, the disciples, they were more so of, like, praising God because it was something that was in their family. It was just, oh, I'm going to church, this and that. I'm pretty much doing it for my
the culture.
Life. I'm doing
yeah.
it for the culture, this and that. But then when they truly met Jesus and were truly in front of him, they started doing it for him mm-hmm. and his service rather than for themselves.
It would show they would literally fight, and then he would turn the corner, and then they would all go, oh, my God.
Yeah.
What were we just saying?
Oh my gosh, I can't believe
Yeah, like that. In the book of Mark that we were reading this week, it said mm-hmm. Jesus arrived and overheard them arguing about who was the greatest of the disciples. Mm-hmm. And yeah.
Yeah, and I never want to be like, obviously we have idols and like, oh, this person's such a a greater Christian than I am, greater person than I am because they do X. But I feel like, you know, Pastor George doesn't come in and say, like, I stayed up for 2 days straight writing this sermon that I'm about to tell you. He just lays it all out. And I feel like if you're not like, oh, I've been a Christian for this long, so I know the answer to your question. Mm-hmm. Because I feel like being a Christian, you also have to be very humble. Because it might have, like, you can quote scripture, but nobody's going to be able to tell you that their interpretation of it is truly the correct one. Mm-hmm. Nobody's truly correct. The only one that is truly correct is Jesus. Only Jesus knew exactly what he meant breaking down the parable. That's why he spoke in those parables, is because it was the easiest way for him to get the truth off, rather than just saying, I'm better than you, you need to follow me.
Yeah, and it's funny, it's almost, you know, if you pray and ask for the wisdom to understand the words and you read the scriptures, Jesus and God will show you exactly what he meant when he said that, because you'll read, and reading such a beautiful thing because it's almost like it's just ink on paper, but it will provide such a visceral experience to yourself. Mm-hmm. And that's what's so amazing about the Bible. Yeah. But yeah, so God will show you what needs to be seen.
Absolutely. Thank goodness for the printing press, man. We've come a long way with technology. Or we started with just writing stuff down. Imagine writing
being a monk. That's what they used to do. They would just sit, like, even monks, that's what monks would do for like Buddhism or other religions. They would just sit there and just write Bibles, basically. Next. Write the Bible. Next.
But imagine being the first person to do that. There's no name. Like, you know how all the books have like an author? Mm-hmm. The author didn't claim nothing. He didn't say, oh, I wrote this. Or, oh, this is my book. He just said, this is God's book. Didn't put his name on it or nothing. He could have.
I was telling, I was at a breakfast, I guess it was like an afternoon Easter thing yesterday. Mm-hmm. I was telling Michael, which is, he's like the host of the party, basically, that without church, man, I would definitely probably lose my faith. Because honestly, like, I wouldn't say I'd lose my faith, that's a crazy statement to make, but my faith wouldn't be as strong. Because every time I leave church, it's so strong.
Definitely. Yeah, I feel like if you didn't have school, you would lose a lot of your knowledge. Mm-hmm. So if you didn't have church, you'd lose a lot of your faith. And I feel like there's a lot of people who went to church for a very long time and then stopped going because they felt like they learned everything. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's...
It's almost like AA. Alcoholics, they go through rehab, they start AA. Once they feel like they're stable, they stop going, and they end up falling back into drugs and alcohol.
Right, and so, you know, that's why I think God put us in sales, because I learned in sales that once you think you know everything, that's when you start going downhill. Mm-hmm. And so I know that there will never be a moment in my life where I think I know everything about
PG's religion. Been doing it for 30 years and he says all the time he's still a student.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like he's still open-minded, and I feel like that's where I want to be in the next 50, 60 years if I make it that long, God forbid.
Yeah, God forbid you do make it that long. We need you out of here ASAP.
ASAP, no Rocky.
I can see.
But, you know, I feel like God calls us to worship. We're worshipers at heart. And I feel like if, like I was saying earlier, if we don't worship something, well, if we don't worship God, we're going to worship something. Mm-hmm. And so that's when people start worshiping their midlife crisis Corvette or, you know, whatever they're driving, or, you know, they start worshiping their
money
or, you know,
going through a divorce, you start worshiping these other things, and that's when a lot of things start going downhill.
Yeah. You ever worship your sadness, Vinny? I feel like that's what a lot of folks do now. Like, I remember when, like, saying you had anxiety and depression was, like, cool.
Yeah. I feel like there was... like,
you got, like, some sort of sympathy from it.
Yeah, no, a lot of people let their sadness and their emotions take a very tight control of their life. And I'm not saying, like, oh, don't let your emotions get out. Like, you get a choice within your emotions. Sometimes you wake up and you're just having a bad day. But, you know, it's just like people who wake up and, like, immediately listen to Juice WRLD. Like, bro, you didn't even try to have a good day.
No, I used to do that. I used to just bump Suicide Boys, Lil Peep on the drive to work, smoking
a
Black and, like, Mild filled with weed. Bro is woke up and chose violence.
Bro, right. Like, how are you going to wake up and not even give yourself a chance? Like, you wake up and you start drinking, or you wake up and you pop a pill or whatever it is. Like, you don't even try to have a good day. And you don't, like, I feel like that's been a very big thing for me, is, like, waking up and reading 10 minutes of the Bible, setting the tone for the day.
That's super important. I mean, speaking of Suicide Boys, Ruby the Cherry, which is, you know, one of the two, he has a bar that's Another Day Wasted Up My Nose, and It's Still Early. And I've definitely struggled with that, is waking up.
Mm-hmm.
I woke up and chose to,
sometimes I still do.
Wake up and choose to smoke weed or do alcohol, whatever it is.
Choose sin, choose to worship something else.
You know, smack the meat once or twice.
Yeah, dude, it's...
spank the bank.
It's bad. It's, you know, we're Christians, but developing Christians. You know, I feel like we're disciples, and, you know, I don't feel like the disciples just followed Jesus and never sinned again. They were always sinning, and they were always trying to get out of their ways, and obviously they weren't in a life where pornography or marijuana or opiates or this and that was around as prominently as it is. And I feel like if it was, truly there would be, like, a few drug addicts and everything like that. That would be one of the 12. I feel like I could be one of the 12 if it was in this day.
Yeah.
And they would have went through a lot of different things. And
yeah, I think that's the most important point of the day, is that we're all sinners.
Yeah.
In the world we live in, sin is inevitable, but it's also avoidable through Christ.
Right.
And it doesn't matter what you've done. God literally sent his only son down to be killed for doing nothing but telling the truth for our sins. And
I mean, the greatest quote that has gotten me to realize is that I may be Christian, but I am not Christ. You know, like, Christ never sinned.
Have you sinned, Vinny?
Oh, guaranteed. I've sinned, you know. That's why the one thing I really do like about the Catholic Church is, like, they ask for repentance in all. They ask for forgiveness. You know, it's my fault through, like, my most grievous fault in my mind and in my actions. Like, they're pretty much saying, like, forgive me for everything that I have done and that I have failed to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like repentance does go a lot farther than not just what you've done, but also what you've failed to do.
Yeah, I used to say that prayer all the time.
And I, you know, and the focus shouldn't be what you're doing wrong, because then you're going to get your head full of all these things that you're doing wrong. I always like to end the day of, what did I do right today? Where did I go right today? Was it this interaction that I had with this person? Was it this thing I said? Was it this? Was it that? And then I'll say, okay, I want to keep these right and just then I'll go to the wrong. So then I'll be like, okay, tomorrow I'm going to write this wrong. And then slowly but surely, 1% every day, you're getting better and better.
My name is
Earl.
Huh? My name is Earl. You ever seen that show?
No.
Okay, never mind. He gets hit. He wins the lottery.
Oh, yeah, yeah, he gets
hit by a car. Uh-huh. And then
he starts writing his wrongs.
He vows to go back. All right, I want to fill the rest of the time with some recommendations. Obviously, the Gospels, Book of Job. If you're new to the Bible,
for sure,
we'd say go hit that one. Immediately jump over to the New Testament, mm-hmm. Book of Matthew. Mm-hmm. Hey, why not? My name is Earl. Go check that out.
Yeah, no, the Chosen. If you're not a reader mm-hmm. at all, the Chosen goes through the New Testament, and it's honestly
it helps.
I prayed to God the other day thanking him for giving us an actor that truly gives a good representation of God. Like
he's very humble, man.
Yeah, I've
seen some interviews of him, just him. He's super humble.
Yeah.
He said he had a real hard time. Just like a man who has a hard time playing Jesus because he doesn't want to disrespect him is a man you want playing Jesus.
Right, exactly. And his play in the Jesus Revolution too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
absolutely amazing.
That guy in the hippie.
Yeah, no, pastor. I just thank God right now just for that person.
Oh, did you watch it?
No, I remember watching it. No, I did watch it. But okay. That is also another good one. And then there's actually this song as well. It's like Nobody by Nobody featuring Matthew West. By the Casting Crowns.
Another song recommendation, Daylight by David Kushner. He has a few songs that are, I mean,
very mainstream,
yeah,
but.
Yeah, he doesn't. I mean, I wouldn't say mainstream. That one's super mainstream. It's on every TikTok video about God you'll see, but he has some other ones that I don't think most people have heard, but very good. Mr. Forgettable is really mm-hmm. good. Burn, that one's really good as well. But absolutely.
Yeah, and another recommendation is to just go out today and love somebody that you didn't think of loving before. Whether it be a random person at work you see every day that you've never stopped and said hi to. Whether it be just somewhere. Be open. Be weary of that person, because that could be God sitting there right in front of you. It could be the next thing that you need to bring grace and love into your life. And I truly feel like just that extra step of doing it for God rather than doing it for yourself is going to be the next best step to put you into God's grasps.
Absolutely. And if you thought this was a fun conversation, you send it to a buddy, something like that. Tune in next week. We're gonna try to get these out every week. I'm gonna start a YouTube channel tonight or something.
Yeah.
And we gotta, in front of that thing you were talking about, the Christmas Island, we gotta get a picture in front of that next
Sunday. Yeah, and then we'll post it as our
profile picture. Yeah, just for every episode we put on YouTube, it'll just be that picture. That's like for the thumbnail until we get video.
Absolutely.
Which, I feel like if we keep doing this for God and not for us, I feel like God's going to bless us with some equipment to make it even better.
Absolutely.